Today's shir is Masechta Erechin Daf Tezvav, and we will begin on Daf Tezvav Amar Aleph, 10 lines from the top at the Mishnah. The Torah teaches us of a parasha of a Moitzi Shemra. A Moitzi Shemra is someone who marries a woman and then comes and says to the father of this woman, Anara Hamarasu specifically, that when I had relations with my wife, she turned out to not be a psula. She had relations, he claims, while she was a nara hamurasa. And the Torah teaches us that what should be done under those circumstances is that ufarsa, it's a simla, they make a determination what did it didn't happen. And if it indeed turns out that she is innocent, the Torah says, V'nasana isha shaychev, Imo lavia nara. The father, the Torah says, the mom that he has to give her v'ancho oisay meya kesef v'nosn lavia nara. He has to give the father a fine of meya kesef. Ki hotzi shem rab sus yisrael v'loisia liisha leshucha shalcha kayama. He has to give a fine of meya kesef, and he has to remain married to her forever. So says the Mishnah, B'maitzi Shemra l'hakol ha'achmer. B'maitzi Shemra represents a kula and a chumra. Ketzad, echad shahoytzi Shemra a gdolish kuna. Whether this happened to the most prestigious family, or a tanish of Yisrael, or the least prestigious family, the halacha is in both cases, noisa me'yisela, always must there be a payment of Meyasela. The Mefarshim point out that even though the halacha is that by Oynes and Mefata also a payment is paid, but the Achronim make a very specific distinction between the payment by Moitzi Shemra versus the payment by the Oynes and Mefata. By Oynes and Mefata, as we discussed previously, he has not yet married this woman. He either violated or seduced this woman. And therefore, the payment that's made is actually made because this woman who experienced this act is no longer a real psula, is no longer a psula, and her value has diminished. And therefore, her father is entitled to compensation for that devaluation. However, in the case that we are discussing of a Moitzi Shemra, he already married her. And as we just discussed a moment ago, not only did he already marry her, but he must remain married to her. So when the fine is paid, the fine is paid strictly because he was Moitzi Shemra. And this teaches us, as we are about to learn Nimtza, it comes to teach us Ha'oimer Befiv, somebody who says something is chomer menoise maisa, is even more serious than somebody who actually does something. Because all we had here was just talk that he was Moitzi Shemra, and yet we see how seriously it is treated in the Torah. And the Farshim go on to explain that not only does he pay this fine of Meir Kesef, which we just described being such a serious fine, but actually the halacha also is that he has to get malchus. Or, explain some Rishonim, because of the seriousness of his sin that he was Moitzi Shemra on a Jewish girl. There are those that want to say that the malchus is not connected strictly to the punishment for being a Moitzi Shemra. There are those that want to say that the malchus is because he wanted to cause it to get killed, as we're going to discuss soon in the Gemara. And the payment is because of that, not because of the Malkus, because of that, not because of the Tzor Shemra. But still, that doesn't detract from what we're learning, how serious of an Avera Moitzi Shemra is. Furthermore, as the Ian Yaakov points out, and this is very much part of, he says, the lesson of what Lashon Hara is all about. Let's think about this situation. Here all he did was speak about his wife. And we know that throughout Halacha, Alav She'eh B'maisa, which this is in that category because he's just speaking, is considered the least serious sin. Yet in our Gemara we're learning how serious the sin of Moitzi Shemra is, to teach us the lesson of Lashon Hara. That even though in Lashon Hara as well, he hasn't really accomplished anything, and it's only a Lav Shem B'maisa, it's still such a very serious sin. Shekem Etzinu, as we see, Shlein Schatim Zayadin Alav Hussein of the Midbar El Lashon Hara, Klai Yisrael in the Midbar ended up with its terrible punishment only because of Lashon Hara, as the Gemara will explain, the Chait of the Meraglim, Shenem of Yenasu Oisi Ezer Esapamim, the seriousness of the Aveir of Lashon Hara. And Emet Hashem, in the Shurim that we are now about to learn, Be'ezer Hashem, we begin to learn about Lashon Hara. And as the Sfas points out, from here in our Mishnah Gemara, we see that the seriousness of the sin is not as even for one who just heard the Lashon Hara, because in our Gemara, the Lashon Hara, if we think about the Meraglim, it was all of Klai Yisrael who were punished, even though only the Meraglim were the ones that said the Lashon Hara. Again, to show us how serious the Aveira of Lashon Hara is. And it's interesting to note, the Poskim point out, that the Aveira of Lashon Hara is not mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. And if, as we're learning and going to learn in Mitzvah Shem in today's Shir, that it's such a serious sin, the question is, why isn't it mentioned in Lashon Hara? Why isn't it mentioned in Shulchan Aruch? So I saw that Mepharshim suggests the reason it's not mentioned in Shulchan Aruch is that there's another halacha also that we all know, but is also not mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. And that is the halacha of a Jew, of course, not being allowed to eat chazir. Also a halacha that's not found in Shulchan Aruch. And the lesson being that these are the most fundamental halachas of being a Jew, and they are not needed to be said in Shulchan Aruch, because that's what being a Jew is all about. Similarly, being a Jew means not saying Lashon Hara. Says the Gemara. Mimai, who says that the reason the Moitzi Shemra is treated so seriously is because of the Hatzah Shemra, Dilmashim the Gagarim L'Ketala. By saying what he said about her, were what he said true, she would be Mechoyim Misa, because he said that she had an adulterous relationship while she was a Nar Marasa. The Ksiv, as the Pasuk says, Vim Emes Hayadavar, if what he said is indeed true, for Haiti is a Nara, and she should be killed. So how do we see that's the Lashon Hara that he's punished for? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rava, Amar Kra, Ki Haiti Shemra. The Pasuk emphasizes that the issue here is Kihoitzi Shemra, Ashemra Shahoitzi. And says the Gemara, as we learned in the Mishnah, became Etzinu, Shlein Eschatim Gzardin. The Gzardin in the Midbar happened by the Meraglim also because of Lashon Hara. Asked the Gemara, Memai, who says that was the reason that they got their punishment? Dilma, Dakati Le Mola Sa'asun. Maybe they got their punishment because until the Chet Meraglim, they had not reached their fill of a virus. As Rav Nuna taught us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nifrim an Adam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't punish anyone at Shetismalas Asa until he reaches his fill. Shnema b'mlois sipkoi. When he's reached his fill, Yetzaloi, then does HaKadosh Baruch Hu upon him. Shem. Am Rish Lakish says Rish Lakish because Am Akra. Let's learn the pasuk. The pasuk says, V'yanasu I see ze es apamin. And as the Mashah points out, the point is the ze. Al ze neschatim gzardin for this avera, the avera of Lashon Hara. Tanya Omer Rabbi Elazar ben Paratha. Bar A kamakadl kayash Lashon Hara. Let's see how powerful is the avera of Lashon Hara. Manola, from where do we learn it? From the Meraglim. And he makes his point. Omer ha-moitzi shemra alaytzim alvon kach. What did the Meraglim speak about? The Meraglim spoke about Eretz Yisrael. Yet we see what a terrible punishment that he got for speaking about stones and wood. Hamotzi shemra al chaveroi, somebody's motzi shemra on someone else, alachs kama kama, certainly he will get a very serious punishment. So the Mefarshim ask, there's a Rashi. We all learned the Rashi in Chumash. The Rashi says, Lama nismacho, Parshas Meraglim, a Parshas Miriam. Why does the Torah put the Parsha of the Meraglim next to the Parsha of Miriam? Lefish loksal iske diba, Miriam became a Mitzaraz. Shadibra bachel, she spoke about her brother Moshe Rabbeinu. V'asham halol rohu v'lelam chumusar. And the Meraglim didn't take Musar from what they saw happen to Miriam. Ask the Mefarshim, how can we compare the two situations based on the wording of our Gemara? Miriam spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu, whereas the Meraglim spoke about Eitz Ma'avonim. So how are the Meraglim to learn what they did is wrong from the fact that from what Miriam spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu? So the Mefarshim answer. The Baal Shem Tov says, if somebody sees somebody else doing an Aveira, it isn't just by coincidence. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused that I should see someone else do an Aveira, there's a lesson HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to teach me by me seeing that. If the Meraglim saw Miriam say Lashon Hara, yes, of course Miriam spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu, but why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu cause that they should see that? It must be because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to send them a message about the terrible sin that Lashon Hara is. And as Rashi says, so they learned what a terrible sin Lashon Hara is. V'loilochu musar, and they didn't take the musar to learn not to say Lashon Hara. But others explain that that is actually the Gemara, part of the question that the Gemara is going to ask. That who says that the Lashon Hara of the Meraglim was such a serious Aveira? They spoke about Eitz Ma'avonim, and maybe the reason they are punished, Dil Mishum Rav Chanina Bar Papa, for a different reason, because of what Rav Chanina Bar Papa taught us. Dil Rav Chanina Bar Papa, Dover Gobel Dibru Meraglim Bar Yisushah. The Meraglim said a terrible thing, because when they said Chazaku Mimenu, Atikru Mimenu, not stronger than us, El Mimenu, stronger Chas V'Shalom than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kav Yochel, and Balabayis, En Yochel Ahoytzi Kelev Misham. HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't able to prevail over the Knanim, over the Shuva Umas that were in Eretz Yisrael. So ask Mefarshim, if this is a legitimate question, why doesn't the Gemara ask the question on the Mishnah? Why does the Gemara wait to ask on the Gemara? So I saw two turutzim. One is because the Gemara attempted to make a Kal V'Chomer, and based on this question, the Gemara's Kal V'Chomer collapses. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw is because the Mishnah doesn't speak only, as we pointed out when we learned the Mishnah, the Mishnah doesn't only speak about the Meraglim who said the Lashon Hara. The Mishnah also speaks about the people who heard the Lashon Hara. But our Gemara is focused on the Meraglim who said the Lashon Hara, and therefore asked the Gemara, maybe the Aveira of the Meraglim was that they spoke so terribly about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. El Amar Rabba Amar Reish Lakish, Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, V'Yimusa Anoshim Maitzi Dibas Aretz Ra. The Pasuk clearly indicates, Al Dibas Ra Sheitziu. They were punished because they spoke about, they said Lashon Hara. So Mefarshim ask the question, how did it indeed come that the Meraglim should come to say such kfirah ba'ikar that a Kadosh Baruch Hu isn't able to prevail over the Shuva Umas in Eretz Yisrael? And furthermore, how did it come that Klal Yisrael should believe in what they said? We know that the people of that generation were the people who we're going to speak about soon, saw Kriyas Yamsuf. They were the people that received the Torah. They certainly were great individuals. How did they come, Chas V'Shalom, to believe such a terrible thing, such a terrible statement that they could prevail over Hashem, Kav Yochel. So the Chofetz Chaim speaks about it, and just to go along the what the Chofetz Chaim says, that there's an interesting tshuva for Moshe. Moshe says the halacha that one is supposed to daven the minyan, that the Shechina appears where there is a minyan, is learned from the din of the Meraglim. We started with 12, but we eliminate Kalev and Yeshua who were not part of the Eda, and that's how we know that a minyan is 10 people. So he says, we're learning that the Shechina appears strictly from the Meraglim who were, according to the Gemara, Kaifrim. It must be, says Ramosha, that they weren't really such serious Kaifrim. They made a mistake. And what was the mistake that they made? The mistake that they made was that they believed that they didn't have enough Schusim that they should be able to prevail over the Knanim. It's not Chas V'Shalom that they didn't believe in God. They didn't believe in themselves that they had the Schusim to be able to take over the Knanim. But I saw further why indeed did they believe that they didn't have enough Schusim to prevail. So Mefarshim discuss the wording of our Gemara. The wording of our Gemara is Balabayas eni yochel lahoitzi kelov misham. And the question is, what is this wording eni yochel lahoitzi kelov? What is kelov? What is the kelum of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So I saw the Mefarshim suggest, the Pasuk says, the Mishnah says, Lemotza HaKadosh Baruch Hu kli machzik bracha ala shalom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not find any greater attribute than shalom. If we look in the psukim that describe what the Meraglim say, we see that the Meraglim keep on speaking the Loshen Yochid. Amalek Yoshev, Amore Yoshev, Bahar Knani, Bahar, Amore Yoshev, Bahar, Knani Yoshev, Alayam. They keep on speaking the Loshen Yochid, Yoshev, Yoshev. What are they saying? What they're saying was that the Umos, the nations that were living in Eretz Yisrael, were Yoshev, were living in peace and harmony. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when Matzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kli Machzik Bracha, what is the Keli of Hashem? Shalom. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees Shalom, he doesn't want to disrupt that Shalom. And that's why they believed that that Shalom will not be disrupted by Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Shalom will not be disrupted. That, because that is the Keli of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But they were wrong. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he's going to take him out, he was going to take him out. Says the Gemara Tanya, Om Rav Yehuda Esen Nisyonis Nisa Avesen Al HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mechlekes Rishonim, what does it mean here when it says Nisyonis? Some say Nisyonis means that they 10 times they showed their lack of Amunah. Other Rishonim say 10 Nisyonis means that they got HaKadosh Baruch Hu angry 10 times. Furthermore, the Mefarshim point out that in the history there were actually more than 10 times that such events took place. But the Gemara, the Braisa here, is focused on the time at the beginning, not while they were Mitzrayim, nor when they were at the end of their days in the Midbar. The Braisa is focused on the beginning of their days in the Midbar. Shnayim v'yam, and the Braisa says two times by Yamsuf, Shnayim b'mayim, two with water. The Brice will explain every one of these episodes. Shnayim b'mon, twice with the mon. Shnayim b'slov, achas b'egel, v'achas b'midaparin, the meraglim. And the Brice goes through each case. Shnayim b'yom, achas b'irida, v'achas b'liyah. Once as they were going into Yamsuf, and once as they were leaving the Yamsuf. B'irida, the ksiv, Klaisol says to Moshe Ben, hamir b'liyah ain't kfarim b'mitzrayim. Weren't there enough graves in Mitzrayim that you've taken us to the Yam? B'liyah, when they're leaving the Yamsuf, k'derav huna. The Jews of that generation had very, very weak emuna. Could Rabbi Bar Meri, Rabbi Bar Meri, my diksiv, v'yamru al yam b'yamsuf, Klai Yisrael rebelled by the Yam Suf. The Yoshiim Laman Shmoy, but Hakadosh Baruch Hu saved us anyway. Melamed. So Yisrael Mamrim by Shushar. Klai Yisrael was rebellious. Vamrim, and they said, Shem Shono Oilam Tzadze, just like we're exiting the Yam Suf from this side, Kach Mitzrayim Oilam Tzadacher. So to the Mitzrayim leaving on the other side. So Tysus asks, that's the diagram in the Tysus on the left side, on the bottom left of the Amid, how did they come to make such a terrible mistake? Didn't they go from one side and the Mitzrayim were in the other side? So because of this question, Tysus actually suggests that the way they entered and exited the Yam Suf was actually in a semicircle, as you see on the right side of Tysus' diagram. They went out on the same side that they entered, but they just went with a semicircle. And what they thought was that the Mitzrayim were on the same side as they were. And that's how they came to make this mistake. That the Mitzrayim had also survived. It's not that they thought that they went from one side to the other side. And I saw a fact that the Mepharshim say that with this we could understand a very famous Gemara. The Gemara says, "Kasha zivuga shel adam kekriyas yamsuf." And the question is, and all the Mepharshim try to understand, why is it specifically compared to kriyas yamsuf? So they say that a lot of times when a person is looking for a shidduch, he thinks that his shidduch is far away. But just like in our Gemara, we see that where they started and where they ended by Kriyas Yam Suf were actually very close to each other, so too, your shidduch is not necessarily far away. So the Klai Yisrael were concerned that the Mitzrayim had also survived. Unlike Kadosh Baruch Hu Sar Shayam, so Kadosh Baruch Hu said to the Sar Shayam, Ploite some Yabasha, expel the Mitzrayim, so Klai Yisrael should see that they all perished. Amalafon, Ribbono Shel Olam, Klum Yesh Eved Shenosnoi Rabba Matana, is there a situation where where a servant receives a gift, the Chayzer of a nightly manner, that you gave me a gift of the Mitzrayim, and now you ask me to expel them? And as the Farshim say, even though we've learned in many Sugyas and Shas, that an owner has a right to say to his servant, I won't support you. That is if he didn't give him anything. But here we refer to a situation where he already gave him the gift. And to assume that he gave him the gift and will take it away is unacceptable. Amaloch, to which HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will pay you back 1.5 times. Because as we're going to learn, when the army of Sisroi came to attack Klal Yisrael, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did was, this is the Shira of the Vayra, the Avtoira Parshas B'Shalach. What happened was that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu took out the sun, and the spears that they were carrying were very hot, and they went into Nachal Kishon to cool themselves off, and that's when they all ultimately drowned. And there were 900 people, soldiers there, but by Paroi, as we know, the Pasuk says, Sheish Meis Rechav Bachur. And even though, as Tysus asks, the Pasuk also says by Paroi that there were actually more than Sheish Meis Bachur Rechav, because the Pasuk also says, Kol Rechav Mitzrayim, so there were many more than 600. So Tysus suggests that by Sisroi, there were also really more than 900. And Tysus says, even though the numbers may not be perfectly accurate, they're close enough to show us the 1.5 times more by Sisroi than by Paroi. Amalifan Ribbono Shel Olam. But at that point, the Yam still says to Hashem, Klum Yesh Evet Shetaveis Rabbi, yes, you've told me I'm going to get paid back in the time of Sisroi, but I won't ask you for that. I have no right as an Evet ask my owner to demand payment. And actually, the Achroidim discuss, there's a very famous Machloikis Sois and the Sivis. If somebody owes someone else money, at what point is there an obligation to repay the debt. The tzais, and this is somewhat borne out in this Gemara, says it's only when the malva demands payment. The nesivus disagrees, and he says even if there is no demand for payment, you have, as soon as the due date comes, you must pay. And the tzais's opinion is based because the halacha is that one isn't over like Solon for not paying his worker until the worker asks for his payment. Says the Sma, you can't bring a raya from a worker, because if the worker didn't ask, it's as if he agreed that he doesn't want to get paid. But over here, where the Eved didn't ask, it's not because he doesn't want, it's because he wants. He just doesn't have the ability, or he doesn't have the gall to ask for it. That's why the Eved says, I can never ask for it. Amaloi, that's why Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Nachal Kishon Yiyah Arev. Nachal Kishon will be the guarantor. V'yad Potan V'yabosha T'ksiv V'yad Yisroel Mitzrayim Meis Asfas Hayom. So Mepharshim asks, the halacha is that one cannot go for payment to the guarantor until the malva asks, until the loiv is approached, and when the loiv is approached and he doesn't pay, then you could go to the Arev. Here, as we said, the Yam, who is, so to speak, the Malva, will never make the request. Say to Mepharshim, that when is there a halacha that one may not approach the Arev? The halacha that one may not approach the Arev is only where the Malva, where the Loiva may actually pay. But if there's no chance that the Loiva is going to pay, then you could certainly go to the Arev first. Since in our Gemara, the Yam is saying that we'll never be able to ask, therefore the Nachal Kishon may be the Arev. But then the question that comes up is that just like the Yam says that we certainly would never approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly because it represents a chutzpah, so isn't it the same chutzpah for the Arev, for Nachal Kishon, Kaviyachal, to approach Hashem? Answer the Mepharshim. For Yam to demand, for somebody to demand something for itself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, as the Gemara here is suggesting, represents a chutzpah. But Nachal Kishon is not asking for itself. Nachal Kishon is asking for someone else. That doesn't represent the chutzpah, and therefore it indeed can be the Arev to ask for payment. Continues the Gemara in describing the different times, the different nishyonos. Shnayim b'mayim, b'mar b'refidim. Twice when they ask for water. B'mar d'ksiv, v'yavim arasa v'lo yochlo lishtais. V'ksiv v'yolon ha'om ha'maisha. B'refidim d'ksiv yachm b'refidim, v'ymayim lishtais. V'ksiv v'yarav ha'om ha'maisha. Shnayim b'mon. Furthermore, we find two times b'mon. D'ksiv al teitzu. They were told not to go out on Shabbos to collect the man. And the pasuk says v'yetzu, that they did go out. The pasuk says al tatsiru, don't leave over. And the pasuk says v'yisiru, they left over. Shnayim b'slav. We find that they did two times with the slav. B'slav rishon or b'slav sheni. B'slav rishon, it says v'shifteinu asir abasar. They asked for meat, complaining we used to be treated so well in Mitzrayim. Of course, a terrible statement. V'slav sheni v'sasuf asher b'kirva. Machlokes Rishonim, what is Slav Rishon and what is Slav Sheni? Some Rishonim suggest that Slav Rishon and Slav Sheni are the first time the Slav came down with the Mon, and then they asked for Slav again. That's how some Mepharshim suggest. Other Mepharshim say that there were two times in their history that they actually demanded of Hashem Slav. Be'egel, the Chet Egel Kedisa, as we know, and Mimidbet Paran is what we've been discussing in our Shia Kedisa, the Chet Tamaragel. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra, Ma'i Deksiv. The Pasuk says, Ma'yitein Lecha, or Ma'yosav Lach, Lashon Ramiya. Amalei Kodesh Baruch Hu Lashon HaKodesh Baruch Hu says to the tongue, Kol Evarav Shel Adam Zekufim, all of a person's limbs are upright, Vatamuto, and you lay flat. Kol Evarav Shel Adam Abchutz, all of our limbs are external, Vatamufnim, and you're internal. V'loyoy, furthermore, El Shikati L'chashtei Chaymes, I've put two walls before the tongue, Acha Shel Etzem V'Acha Shel Basar, the teeth made out of bone, the lips made out of flesh. And you certainly ought not to be speaking Lashon Hara. So Pashup Shat, the tongue is the only aver that lays flat. And as the Mefarshim explained, what the lesson here is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the tongue, made the lips, and made the teeth, because through the lips and through the teeth, we're able to speak. So what is the Gemara saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that they're there to serve as walls? The answer is, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically create the lips and the teeth that way? To teach us the important lesson that one is not supposed to speak Lashon Hara. The Pashut Pshat is that there are these two bound borders that come out, and a person to teach us that before a person speaks, he should think about what he's saying. And the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created only this limb that way, because there are no other limbs that are so upright, that are always laying flat, to teach us this lesson. Actually, I saw that the Mefarshim take this one step further, because there are actually two things done with the lips. One is that the lips, the two things done with the mouth. One is that we speak with our mouth, and the other thing that we do with our mouth is that we eat with our mouth. And the lesson of this, of the lips and of the teeth, are that a person is supposed to watch what comes into his mouth, and a person is supposed to watch what goes out of his mouth. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the lips. The lips are flesh, similar to meat, that we should think about what's going into our mouth. And the lips, and we have the teeth, which are made out of bone, not anything that one has hanor from, to represent what we should think about what goes out of our mouth. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishim Rabbi Yosef ben Zimra, Kol ha-mesapir Lashon Hara, whoever speaks Lashon Hara, kilu kofer be'ikar, is like he's a koifer. Shnemar, asha amru l'shoy le-nagbir, svesenu itanu mi'odn lanu. Saying Lashon Hara is kfir be'ikar. And there are a lot of pshatim why. One pshat is, because when somebody says Lashon Hara, what he typically does is that he looks around, is the person that he's speaking about here. So he's only concerned about the people, but he's not concerned that everything we say and we do Hashem sees and hears. Another pshat is that sometimes a person says Lashon Hara, and then he said, he's accused, or he tries to defend himself, I didn't mean to say Lashon Hara. I didn't mean it for Lashon Hara. I meant the L'Toyelis. He has all sorts of Hatayrim. But who really knows the truth, what his intent was? HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that he really meant to say Lashon Hara. So you could fool the world, but you can't fool Hashem. Another pshat is that what happens, unfortunately, many times when Lashon Hara is spoken, Lashon Hara is spoken about great people, about Rabbanim, about leaders of Klal Yisrael. And when one begins speaking negatively about great people in Klal Yisrael, the people HaKadosh Baruch Hu appointed as our leaders, ultimately it can lead to Kfir of Iker. And the last pshat that we're going to mention is very much connected to what we just learned in the Gemara a moment ago. We just learned that HaKadosh Baruch Hu deliberately created our tongue with the borders around it to always serve as a reminder that we may not speak Lashon Hara. And somebody who speaks Lashon Hara is denying that that was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan in his creation. Continues the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef ben Zimra, Kol HaMesap Lashon Hara Negaan Ba'an Melov. Whoever says Lashon Hara has tzaras. And as the Mefarshim point out, we've learned so many times that one is not identified as a Metzaira unless the Kohen declares him with his mouth that he is a Metzaira. Similarly, the person becomes a Metzaira by speaking Lashon Hara with his mouth. Shenema Meloshne B'Sei Sereyu Oysa Atzmes V'Ksiv Hasam. And the pasuk says regarding Yovel, the word Litzmisis. And the Targum of the word Litzmisis is Lachlutim. And we've learned many times, Einbein Mitzarim Muzgul, Mitzarim Muchlet. Mitzarim Muzgul is one that's quarantined, but has not yet been confirmed as Mitzayra. Mitzarim Muchlet, as we learned, is somebody who's quarantined and has been declared a Mitzayra. Elo Priyo Frima. Priyo Frima means letting the hair grow and tearing the garment. So we see that tzaras is connected to Lashon. See, that tzaras is connected to Lashon Hara. And as the Mefarshim point out, even though we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shema tomorrow's shir, that tzaras comes for many other Averis, suggests the Mefarshim that that for that one wouldn't become a Mitzvah Muchlet. A Mitzvah Muchlet only comes for somebody who says Lashon Hara. Amr Shlokish Maidik Siv, Zois Tia Tyrus Mitsira, Zois Tia Tyros Mitsi Shemra, the repercussions of being a Mitsi Shemra are Tsaras. Vamr Shlokish Maidik Siv, Im Yishach Hanoshach Hanokash Bloy Lokash, Ben Yisrael Labala Loshin. Loss of Love and Scapsis Karl Chayas of Oyas, it's on Nokash. All the animals come to the Nokash and say, Ari Dyrus Oichel, a lion claws and eats, Zayv Tarav Oichel. Nafkamina between Tyrus and Eichel, two Nafkaminas in the Rishonim. One is that a lion doesn't wait till its prey, its dead, to eat it, whereas other animals do. Another pshat is the lion will eat its prey in public, whereas the other animals will schlep it to its cave and eat it there. Ata, say the animals to the Nachash, Ma hana yeshlach. What do you benefit from what you do? Amma Yisrael Baal Loshen. And what is the Baal Loshen gain? So Rabbi Eliyahu Dessler asks, unfortunately we know that people enjoy saying Lashon Hara. So what is the Gemara saying that the person, what do you gain from Lashon Hara? Unfortunately people do enjoy saying Lashon Hara. So Rabbi Dessler explains, subconsciously, why does a person say Lashon Hara? A person says Lashon Hara because he thinks that by speaking bad about someone else, that will make him greater. But what the Gemara teaches us is that you're no different than the snake. The snake doesn't gain anything from saying Lashon Hara. So too, you don't gain anything from saying Lashon Hara. Continues the Gemara of Amar Reish Lakish. Kol Mesap Lashon Hara, Magdal Avonis Lakshamayim. The sin is such a sin that it goes up all the way to Shemayim. Shenema Shatu B'Shemayim P.M. U'L'Shonim Talach Baris. So Pashat Pshat the Gemara is teaching us is what a serious sin Lashon Hara is. But I saw another Pshat that the Chayvus Halvavus and other Mepharshim suggest that when one says Lashon Hara about someone else, so the one he said Lashon Hara about, he receives all of that individual's averus, and the person who was said about gets the mitzvahs of the one who talked. So it causes in Shemayim that there should be a rearrangement of the mitzvahs and averus because of the Lashon Hara that was said. Amar Rav Chizda, Amar Mar Ukva. Kol HaMesap Lashon Hara, whoever speaks Lashon Hara, Royal Cycle of Evan. Ksivhacha oisa atzmas, v'ksivhasam tzamsu b'bar chai v'yedu evan bi. That we see the word tzamsu, which is said by Lashon Hara, is causes one to be stoned. V'amar chizdam marukfa. Kolam la sapa Lashon Hara, amakadosh baruch hu, ein ani v'hu yichayim lo'adu b'oilam. I and he cannot coexist in this world. Shenema, Veloshne B'seis Re'eyu, Ois Atzmas, Gvayin Naim Rechav Levov, Ois L'Uchol. Al Tikri Ois L'Uchol, Eli Itoi L'Tuchol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that I can't coexist with such a person. And the Mefarshim explain, this goes back to what we discussed earlier, because a person who speaks Lashon Hara is a person who is a kofer baker, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, if you don't believe in me, I don't exist in the world. Bikkur D'Masna, and others say that who is HaKadosh Baruch Hu say he cannot coexist with Agasei Ruach, with arrogant people. Amar Kizlam Amar Rukfa, Kol Masapa Lashon Hara, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sar Shal Gehenim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the master of Gehenim, Ani Alav Milmalam, I will focus on the above, Vata Olam Milmatam. Mefarshim explain, because Lashon Hara represents an Avera of Ben Odom L'Mokoyim and Ben Odom L'Chaveroi, and therefore he's judged these two judgments. Another pshat that I saw is that a person speaking Lashon Hara, besides that while he's saying Lashon Hara, he's doing the terrible Avera of saying Lashon Hara, he's also could have at that time been davening or learning, and that's why he gets this double judgment. Ani olam umal vata olam umatn adona. Shnei mechitzei gibur shnunim in gachli resomim. Ein chetz, the chetz is the loshin. Shnei mar chetz shochet l'shoimer mirma v'daber. Ven gibur is the Kodesh Baruch Hu, shnei mar Hashem gibur yetzei, gachli resomim hayne gehenim. So we see by speaking Lashon Hara, Hashem and Gehenim judge such an individual. Amr Rav Chama Rav China Aina. Mata Kantosoi Shal Mesapi Lashon Hara. How does a Baal Lashon Hara say, do tshuva? In Talmud Chacham Hu, Yasek B'Toyre, Shal Learn Toyre. Shnema, Mapa Lashon Eitz Chayim. Vein Lashon, El Lashon Hara. Shnema, Chet Shochet L'Shoinam. Vein Eitz El Toyre, Shnema Eitz Chayim Hila Mavzikim Ba. V'mama Oretzu, Yash Bodatoi, Shnema, V'Selof Ba, Shever Beruach. So Pash Pshat is, that Talmud Chacham learns Torah, and if he's speaking words of Torah, then he won't be speaking words of Lashon Hara. Furthermore, the Mefarshim say that's why the Gemara uses the wording of Yasif B'Torah, as is the wording of the Bracha that we make every morning, Lasif B'Divrei Torah. Because a person, by learning Torah, by being Isaac in Divrei Torah, what he does is that he is become completely immersed in learning, even when he's not sitting by the shir. And since he becomes completely immersed in learning, even when he's not immersed in the shir or in the subject, he will anyway be thinking about it, and therefore won't come to speak Torah, speak Lashon Hara. Damaritz doesn't have that ability, so that's why Damaritz, what he needs to do is become modest, and by becoming modest, that will prevent him from saying Lashon Hara. The Mefarshim also go on to explain that the Talmud Chacham, the halacha is Rav Shemacha Kvoidoi, Ein Kvoidoi Machol, and therefore he can't just be Yashpil Datoi, he has to learn Torah. That's how he vents the Lashon Hara. Rav Chach Bar Chanina Amar Siper, somebody says Lashon Hara, ain't like the Karna, has no remedy. Shekra Kar Sadamad Baruch Kachoi, Shnema Yachvas Hashem Kol Sifsei Chalokas Loshem Medaberes Gedoilus. So as the Mefarshim explain, what the Gemara is specifically mentioning David is because we know David HaMelech was the one that said Yitamu Chatoim Choytim Loiksev El Chatoim. David was the one that always tried to be Melamed Tzchus on those who did Averis. But even David HaMelech, with his great humility and with his great compassion, did not have compassion for a Baal Lashon Hara. Ella, matat tekanosoi shlo yava l'day Lashon Hara, and tamad chacham hu yasik b'toira, v'zit tamad chacham hi shlo yotoira, v'mamaratsu yasik b'datoi, shnema v'solof boi sheva beruach. And as the Chofetz Chaim explains, the Gemara here clearly is not speaking about a person who says Lashon Hara once is already doomed to total failure. Rather, says the Chofetz Chaim, the Gemara here is referring to a person who habitually speaks Lashon Hara, And that's why the Gemara takes such a serious view about his behavior. Other Mepharshim, I saw from Rav Salanter another pshat. Rav Salanter suggests that the reason the Gemara is being so strict with a Baal Lashon Hara is because we know that if we do an Aveira against another person, so the only way that that Aveira could be forgiven is if we ask that person for Mechila. But we can't ask a Baal Lashon Hara for Mechila. We can't ask the person we said Lashon Hara about for Mechila because we're just going to make him feel bad when we ask him Mechila. And therefore, the Gemara is saying that there really is no remedy for Lashon Hara. But as the Shema Shmuel says, that if a person acts Yash Baldatoy, if a person acts modestly, and a person learns Torah, what he's doing is he's reconnecting himself to Hashem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of all life, Ki'imcha Mikar Chayim, and therefore by a person reconnecting himself to Hashem, he can have a new path, even though he's done the Saveira of Lashon Hara. Tanaverim Shmo, Kol Mesaper Lashon Hara, whoever says Lashon Hara, Magdal Avonis Kenegit Sholosh Averis. It's similar to the three serious Averis. Averis Kachom Gil Arazim Shrichim Dovim. Ksiv Hocha, it says regarding Lashon Hara, Lashon Medaberis Gedoilis. Ksiv Averis Kachom, it says regarding Averis Zoro, Ona Chota Amazeh, Chota Gedoilo. Begilei Arayis, it says, Ve'eich Esa, Ha'ro Ha'gdoil Azois, Yosef, Vedeishas Pritifar. V'shvichas Tomim, it says, Godel Avonin Tzor Kayin, said after he killed Hevel. But ask the Gemara, Gedoilis, Ematati, why are we saying it's equal to three? Why it's only, the Pasuk says Gedoilis, which is two? And says Gemara, Chachayim Yonayim Nafka, which of the three Averis do you want to eliminate? And the Mepharshim here to say, the Gemara doesn't mean to say, the Yavid says this, that the Rivash, I mean, says that a person is not obligated to be Maisa Nefesh for Lashon Hara. The Gemara just tried to show us the seriousness of the Avera. Other Mepharshim say the Gemara is speaking again here about somebody who is a habitual speaker of Lashon Hara. But Marav Amri, Lashon Tlusoi, Kotl Tlusoi, saying Lashon Hara kills three people. Hargoy, it kills. Lemasaproi, the person who says it. Ula Makabloi, and the person that it speaks about it. The person who hears it, Ulam Amroi, and the person that says it, all three. So the Mepharshim, of course, all ask, the person who Lashon Hara was said about, why does he deserve punishment? They say because he must have done something that would cause people to say Lashon Hara about him, and therefore he deserves some sort of punishment as well. Am Rav Chama Bar Chanina, Ma'adik Siv, Mavis B'chaim B'yayu Lashon, V'chi Yesh Lad L'Lashon, does the tongue have a hand? Loimelach. Ma'yad Misa, just like the hand has the ability to kill, Af Lashon Misa, so too does the tongue have the ability to kill. Ma'yad Eder Misa El B'samach Lo. But when we speak about the hand can only kill what's near it. Should we say, Af Lashon Eder Misa El B'samach Lo, only what's near it? Tamaloima Chetz Shochet L'Shoinam. The tongue is like an arrow. But continues the Gemara. Ima chetz ad aboim chamish aboim amma. It only could shoot 40, 50 amma. Af loshen, maybe does the tongue only have the ability ad aboim chamish amma to damage 40, 50 amma radius? Tamaloima, shat b'shmayim p'yem l'shoyim talach ba'aretz. That it could travel around the entire world. Ask the Gemara. V'chi me'achad k'siv shat b'shmayim p'yem. The power, the terrible power of Lashon Hara, Chet Shochet Lashon Lamali, HaKamashma, the Pasuk is teaching us, the cause to Chet, that just like an arrow could kill, so can words. The Chimiach, the Ksef Chet Shochet Lashon, asked the Marmavas for Chayim, Miyad Lashon Lamali, look at the Rava. Dama Rava, the Baye Chayim, one could gain life, the Lishnei, through saying Divrei Torah, or Tefillah, with his mouth, the Bai Misa, and death could come Rachman Samba Lishnei. Ask the Gemara, Hei Chidami Lishnei Bishnei, what is an example of Lashon Hara? And the Farshim explained, what the Gemara means to say here is, what is an example of Lashon Hara that you would think is not Lashon Hara? Amar Rava, could go into Amar, Ikan Nurabe Planya. and by somebody saying that he has a fire, that there's a fire always on in that person's house, they're always cooking food, it still represents Lashon Hara, because it shows that he's always eating, and that he's always eating just by himself and not sharing. So that already has Lashon Hara. Maybe just saying a fact. Why is that automatically considered Lashon Hara? Says the Gemara, it matters how it's said. The Mapik Belishna Bishna. Domer, Heichem Mishtak Echara. Elbe Plani says, where else would there be fire on all the time if not in that person's house? Because they're always eating. Amar Rava, Chamnosa Des Amra Ba'apig Mara. Anything that you wouldn't be, that you would say in front of the person you're speaking about, less like Bishnabisha. Is not involved with Bishnabisha. I'm like Koshke, Chutzpah Lishnabisha, to say it in front of somebody else. Omele, to which he responds, Anak Rav Yosef Srilei, Dabar Rav Yosef Miyomei Leimati Dovar, never did I say anything, V'chazarte Lecharei, that I have to turn around and look if the person I'm speaking about is there. So Tysus explains that Rav is only referring to the Gemara that we just learned. That if we have a statement, which is an obvious Lashon Hara, like the statement we said, Nurebe Planya. So how do we know if it's Lashon Hara or not? The way to tell if it's Lashon Hara or not is, would you say it in front of the person you're speaking about? If you would say it in front of him, it's an indication that it's not Lashon Hara. If you wouldn't say it in front of him, it's an indication of Lashon Hara. The Rabbeinu Yoina says that a different pshat in the Gemara. The Rabbeinu Yoina says, of course, just because the person is there doesn't give us a right to say Lashon Hara. What it means is that here we're speaking about, a person is speaking about giving mussar, giving a drasha, and saying, don't act like that person who does something very terrible. So how do we know if what he's doing is appropriate or not? The way to know, says Rabbeinu Yoina, the Gemara is teaching us, is if my intent is just to teach others how to act properly, that I wouldn't be ashamed to say it even if the person I'm speaking about were here. But if that weren't my intent, then I would be embarrassed to say it if we were here. To know if my intent is honest and l'shem shemayim or not, the test is to see, would you say it in front of the person that you're speaking about?